Welcome to Golden Point Sports, your number one sports car podcast. Now for your host, two guys who are killing the dad bod book, living out their faith, and talking sports, Robert Foster and Brad Winter.
On today's episode, Brad and I are going to do the 2021 NFL Draft winners and losers. Brad, the NFL Draft was a lot of fun, and we learned, you know, the draft is always a fun time to me. I always enjoy it, but I enjoyed it this year. I know you and I are kind of questionable on our favorite teams, the Steelers for you and the Titans for me, on what they did in the draft, but. You know, today we're going to give our winners, our biggest winners and our biggest losers in our opinion, of the NFL draft. And I think that we both are going to have some interesting takes on this, but Brad, without further ado, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. I'm going to, about to do a trip, for work where I get to help plan a rec sports and fitness ministry conference happening in September. And, not only do I love being able to be a part of that and honored to do that, but it's in the beautiful, you know, Asheville area, which if anybody knows me, I'm a big mountain guy. And so I'm excited about getting away for a few days, getting soaking in the mountains for a day or two maybe, and be able to see some of my ministry colleagues from around the country. So I'm pretty excited about that. So today's been a good day, just kind of wrapping up some loose ends before I have to head out tomorrow.
Very cool, Brad. Very, very cool. If you have an extra ticket, you know, you could have hit me up, but it is cool. It's whatever,
man. I'll hit you up in the fall. When we actually do the conference, I'll hit you up.
Okay. All right. Well, don't be surprised. I'll take you up on that real quick. So either way. All right, Brad. Our first topic here is the NBA. All right. NBA playoffs, the play-in tournament. Look, I think it's fun, and I think it's an exciting addition to the NBA playoffs. But one guy named LeBron James, he says that whoever came up with it should be fired, Brad. Now, look, I think that that's ridiculous, and I think that LeBron's just crying because the Lakers very well could play have to play in that play-in tournament. Brad, what's your thoughts on the play-in tournament as well as LeBron James's comments?
Yeah, I mean, I think, and LeBron has said this a couple of times already since his injury, like, he doesn't think he'll ever come back to 100%. And I think that's a little salty on him. And the fact that he probably won't get back to the form he's been at for his whole career up until this year. So I think that has something to do with it. You know, I think another thing is that the Lakers are kind of struggling. You know, everybody with the signer of Schroeder and a few others, Montrezl Harrell, a lot of people thought they'd be a runaway pick in the West. And right now it's the Suns are in first, the Jazz are second. I think the Lakers are third, if I'm not mistaken, or it might be the Nuggets. I don't know past two right now, but I think they're kind of struggling a little bit this year compared to last. And I think that's why he's a little nervous. Cause like, I mean, me and you mentioned it earlier, he's probably going to play in it. So he's just thinking, man, I'm not 100%. And then you're making me play extra games before we get to the playoffs. And I'm not a big fan of that. I think it adds some excitement to the NBA playoffs. So, I mean, it's different. The NCAA playing games are different because they're teams that really no one's ever heard of unless you're a fan of one of them. And so no one wants to see, you know, Norfolk State take on Stony Brook. You know, it's just not a hot game for the week that people want to watch. But at the same time, I think in the NBA, it's a little different. You got some teams that are right there on the edge. I mean, the Suns, you know, snuck in last year and kind of went on a tear. I think just like what happened last year in the bubble, we could see this year as far as a team getting hot at the right time and kind of sneaking into the playoffs through the play-in bracket. So I think it's good. I think it's good for the sport. I think they saw a good response last year from the NBA playing in doing the whole playing game and all that stuff. I think people like that. They were excited. I think the NBA is jumping on a good opportunity to maybe get more people involved right before the playoffs start.
I agree. And the thing is, too, it's, you know, like you're saying, I mean, yeah, it's like a warm-up tournament, basically, to the NBA playoffs. And you know, a lot of times, too, Brad, is, you know, these 7 and 8 seeds, they could be separated by like a half a game or a game. And then the, you know, the ninth and 10th seed could be separated, you know, from the eighth seed. They could be tied. You know, it's just one of those things to where it's so close when it comes to those that I think that this makes sense to have. And yeah, it is fun. It is something fun. Now, could you see the NFL ever doing a play-in tournament like this, Brad? Could you ever, like, you know, instead of having seven playoff teams, you only have six, but let's say, you know, or you could have seven, but seven and eight, you know, they play. So everybody basically gets a bye week. Or I don't know, something like that, Brad. I mean, or, you know, you have eight teams basically, and then, but everybody gets a bye week that's not either seven or eight, nine or ten. So those four teams are playing each other, and then the next week, that's when the real playoffs start. Could you ever see that happen, or you don't think that would be worth it?
You know, some of them have really have already complained about playing that 17th game in the season. Alvin Kamara, I mean, it's probably one of the most vocal players about it. But, you know, I think if you were to sit there and say, hey, we're going to add on an extra game for the season, then, oh, wait, if you didn't play well, but you played just well enough to be on the outskirts of the playoffs, we'll give you one more game. And so I think that's where the show comes in. Like, yeah, that'd be exciting to see who gets the seventh seed. You know, 2 years ago, that's, you know, a Steelers and the Browns game or whatever it was. You know, this year it was it would have been the Browns and the man, I'm struggling. The thing, but I could have thought there was somebody like right there on the edge of the playoffs in the AFC. NFC, I don't care enough.
Dolphins, Broncos,
yeah,
Chargers,
yeah, the Dolphins. You know, it would have been the Dolphins and the Browns. You know, playing for that last playoff spot. You know, that would be fun. But at the same time, I think with extending that season, you almost wipe out any chance of having any kind of playing game in the NFL. It's just too much. And so I like the idea, but I think they should have thought about that for adding the 17th game for the season.
You know, I don't disagree with you either way. I mean, that's with the NFL, but the NBA, yeah, it'll be fun. All right, Brad, for the second year in a row, the fallout from the NFL draft is surrounding Aaron Rodgers. Now I kind of think it's unfair to the draftees in the NFL draft. Now maybe it's a little unfair to Aaron Rodgers, because here's the thing too, is like, you know, last year the Packers kind of caused that, right? I mean, they move up and draft Jordan Love. I saw a report earlier today saying that they were wanting to draft either Justin Jefferson or Brandon Ayuk, but they went right before their pick, and so they went with Jordan Love instead, you know, and it is what it is. I mean, you know, you're going to hear rumors of the Packers were all in on certain players and they just couldn't get them. You're going to hear that because now they're fighting to keep Aaron Rodgers. But, and that's what we get to this year. You know, this year Rodgers is wanting out of Green Bay, and that's the story. Granted, I mean, you could probably blame both years on the Packers organizations. You could probably blame this on the Packers. I mean, the Packers have – I don't think that they've ever used a pick on an offensive player except for Jordan Love while Aaron Rodgers has been there. So, Brad, I don't know about you, but that would irritate me too. Now, granted, I get it. The Packers organization, they think that Aaron Rodgers is good enough to where – They don't have to draft another offensive player. But that's kind of, I don't know, I guess unfair to assume that a player is going to make just everybody else better. Either way, and then the Packers, of course, they went off and they drafted a corner in the first round. Whenever you had a couple of wide receiver options sitting there, like an Elijah Moore, I think I actually had him mocked to them. And so, you know, the way I look at it, Brad, is Aaron Rodgers, it sucks that Aaron Rodgers, or it sucks that the Packers and Aaron Rodgers are seemingly have a bad relationship at the moment. But I mean, it's a very good team, but I mean, if Aaron Rodgers leaves that team, Brad, that Packers team is, and they know it too. I mean, they're not going to be very good. So, now they do play in the NFC North, and well, I mean, the Lions, Vikings, and Bears, they may, They may not hurt the Packers too much. Packers may still be a little bit competitive. They may still be competitive, but that's beside the point. But Brad, you know, first, what's your thoughts about the reigning MVP wanting out of Green Bay? And then I have another question for you after that.
Yeah, you know, I think I've never really liked Aaron Rodgers. Let me just say this. Like, I never liked him personally. Like, I think athletically he's great. Sure, we can put him in the Hall of Fame. He's good. But I think personally, like, he's just been a little, like, snobby. I mean, when he joined the NFL, he kind of cut off his entire family. You know, he whines almost every year. You know, and it always happens around draft day. So, you know, maybe he was afraid they were going to draft another quarterback. So he thought, well, maybe I'll put it out there before they draft another quarterback. You know, that way I'll have all the questions for Jordan Love. I don't know. But I think at the same time, I mean, so I think there's a lot of just drama with Aaron Rodgers. I think there always sort of kind of has been. Hence why Mike McCarthy left. I mean, was fired, is because they sided on Aaron Rodgers' side, but then they just haven't supported him since Mike McCarthy left. So, I mean, I can see the frustration in the sense of like, hey, like, you got to give me other playmakers. But at the same time, I thought he did well this year. I mean, he's a reigning MVP with his superstar being Davante Adams, which is great. But outside of that, like, there's really not no one there. And so I think, like, yeah, you can sit there. And I said this last year after the whole Jordan Love, no wide receiver debate. Like, I mean, if you're a good enough quarterback, you'll make everybody else around you better. And I think he has done that. I mean, I don't think you're going to see Marquise Scouting, Valdez, whatever, like, go to another team and do what he's doing in Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers. But I guess at the same time, I'm a little confused, like, on why he's been so frustrated, because they have, like, they don't have, like, major superstars on their team. But he's making them all look good. I mean, they have a great running back in Aaron Rodgers. Jamal Williams has been okay. They picked up A.J. Dillon last year. So, I mean, I don't think the Packers have, you know, in a polite way, just stuck up the middle finger to Aaron Rodgers, just like the media and everybody else is acting like they have. I think they're saying, hey, look, we're drafting where we need the most important position, and then we'll take care of you because you've done well so far without having major superstar names. And so we're not too worried about drafting Elijah Moore when we have a not so great defense, you know? And so I don't know. I'm not saying they had a great draft by any means, but I think at the same time, you know, I think Aaron Rodgers needs to get over himself. And I think at the end of the day, it's like this, like, marriage that the communication's gone stale, like, between the two, like the husband and the wife. And, like, they're just blaming everything on each other instead of actually talking it through. And I think at that point, like, I'm not an advocate for divorce, and unless it's like some major stuff, like abuse or other stuff. But I think in the sense of Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, I think they really just need to need to go their own ways. I know for the Packers it's hard because for the last 30 years they've had two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, and so, you know, that's going to be a big change for them. But at the same time, I think just for the good of their organization, I almost feel like it's just better to say, look, you're not happy, you don't like what we're doing, you know, go somewhere else. But again, I know you're saying that to the reigning MVP. Well, yeah, because I have to deal with this every draft day. As a GM, not only do I have the stress of drafting players and signing free agents, I have to deal with Aaron Rodgers saying something stupid every first day of the draft. You know, like, I wouldn't want to deal with that. But again, you know, some people might think I'm crazy because it's a reigning MVP. Everybody thought I was crazy when I told them the Steelers should get Le'Veon Bell when they, you know, well before he sat out for a year, but everybody thought it was crazy then, and look what happened there. So I don't know. I think you just got to take what you get. I think at this point, the Packers, you know, just have to suck it up and say, all right, like, you're not happy. We're trying our best to draft the team and not just cater to Aaron Rodgers. And we're trying to make sure the incomplete team is drafted well. And, you know, we're not seeing it eye to eye, and maybe go to another place that's going to, you know, put a team around you that you feel is complete, let you run the show. And so that's just my thoughts on it.
Look, I agree with your thoughts on that. I do. Where do you think that he could end up? I mean, do you think that the Packers are able to, you know, kind of mend the fences and keep him? Like, or do you think he goes to the Broncos or the Raiders? Or now apparently the New York Giants could be in the mix. So, is this, you know, where do you think he ends up?
Yeah, I mean, my thing is, like, I think going to New York would be a big change for Rodgers just because you're going to Green Bay, like, yeah, they literally only have the Packers. So you're leaving a small town market for for New York. Maybe that's some, maybe he likes that style more. I don't know. But again, like any team that takes him is, if we do not win a Super Bowl, what comments will he make at the end of the season where everybody's like, oh no, like is Rodgers, you know, getting upset? Is he gonna, is he want to part ways with the organization? Like, I think there's a lot of stuff that comes with Roger. The Jets, or not the Jets, the Giants, maybe they're willing to put, you know, take that on. You know, the Raiders like to have a circus going when they, when, you know, at any point in time in their season, maybe they'll enjoy that. But yeah, as far as the Broncos go, I mean, I guess like, I kind of question the Broncos move, but you know, I think the Giants, their defense turning around middle of the season, they have a decent run game. I don't think that's a bad option for them, but then you're kind of, you know, being a jerk to Daniel Jones, who, you know, is supposed to be the quarterback of the future. And I'm not saying he's great by any means, but, you know, do you have Daniel Jones one more year, or do you just say, hey, you know, maybe if you just spend a year underneath Aaron Rodgers and see if that helps. But then again, does Aaron Rodgers, you know, how does he work with backup quarterbacks? You know, Peyton Manning, who everybody's like, oh, he's great. Don't get me wrong, Peyton Manning's great, but he never once took time to get to know the backup quarterbacks. And you saw that when he was injured that one year and Curtis Painter came in and they said, hey, why do you suck so bad? He's like, I never got to take any snaps during practice. Like, there's not one time, like, I just, they, like, Peyton Manning would never let me take any snaps. And so, you know, that's another thing, the way too, is if you want to bench your current quarterback and say, hey, we want to give you a year to learn under Aaron Rodgers, will they actually learn, or are they just going to sit there and watch him and say, well, yeah, I learned because I saw him on the field every day, but he never took me underneath his wing and taught me stuff, you know? And so I know, there's just a lot of questions, but then again, I hope this doesn't come off like, well, you already said you didn't like him. And these are the reasons why, like, these are the reasons why I don't like him. I think he's going to have to go somewhere where the offense fits him. And I think he's at the point where he doesn't care about how bad the defense is. As long as they have offensive players that he likes, I think he'll go there. And I mean, is that Oakland? You know, is that the Giants? I think the Giants, like I said, Giants, if you look at offensive weapons, are probably, it's probably the best location for him to go, and for that team to be happy with him during the season instead of him complaining the whole time. But I have no idea.
I don't know. I kind of agree that the Giants, I just don't know about that, Brad. I don't know. Plus, I don't think the Packers are going to trade him. You know, why would you trade your MVP quarterback to an interconference team? You know, just that doesn't really make sense. So I think the most logical place is the Broncos, personally. You know, look, they have quarterback questions. They have a really good defense. They improved that defense a lot in the draft. You know, they do have weapons. I mean, if Cortland Sutton can stay healthy, they have weapons, that is. Noah Fant. Jerry Jeudy. There we go. Yeah, even Jerry Jeudy. I think that it's you know, I mean, KJ Hamler as well, Tim Patrick, yada yada yada, all these guys. But the thing is can Rodgers? I don't know. You know, can you really see Rodgers going anywhere else? Is the question. But the thing is too, is like, I think the Broncos make the most sense just because they're – I mean, he would come in and he would make the Broncos a Super Bowl team, Brad. I mean, he would make them a now it's still have to contend with the Chiefs, but if that defense is as good as it's supposed to be, then they should be able to beat the Chiefs, because if you got a guy like Aaron Rodgers slinging the ball and then you have a really good defense, well, you should be able to keep up with the Chiefs for one thing, or you should be able to at least get a couple stops and whatnot, right? So yeah, it's just, are you going to do that with Drew Lock? No, you're certainly not.
Well, they just got Teddy Bridgewater too. So did they trade you, you know?
Yeah, but you're not going to do that. I mean, they traded a 6th round pick for Teddy. I mean, I'm sure he doesn't garnish any type of, I'm sure that the decision to bring him in isn't going to change their mind on not trying to get Aaron Rodgers. I mean, just about any team. I mean, look, if the Titans wanted to go after Aaron Rodgers, I'm not going to be against it. Now, I like Ryan Tannehill, and I think he's a great quarterback. I think he's a good quarterback. But, but Aaron Rodgers is an elite quarterback. And, you know, Brad, that's a big difference. You know, that there's, you know, your Steelers. Would you rather have Aaron Rodgers right now than Big Ben? I mean –
I mean, if you want to say during the first eight games of the season, I'd have Big Ben over Aaron Rodgers. I mean, but again, I know it's the whole season outlook, but I mean, a lot of people said Ben did bad. I mean, he finished the season with 35-10. I mean, that's not terrible.
Oh, I mean, Tannehill did great too, but hey, I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers. Now, granted,
I personally don't like Aaron Rodgers.
Here's the thing: if you knew you were guaranteed a Super Bowl by trading for this guy, you know what I'm saying? Is that when you're? I mean, how much are you going to give up if you're guaranteed a Super Bowl, Brad? How much are you going to give up?
I mean, I don't think I'm guaranteed a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers over Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, I just don't see.
Well, we both have some other issues.
I mean, if I'm the Texans, he's like, hey, I'll go to the Texans, even though they're a dumpster fire. I'm a Texans fan. Like, yeah, bring him on. Like, we don't even know if we're going to have our quarterback after this year. Like, yeah, bring him on. Like, you know.
Well, yeah, Aaron Rodgers, though. I think Aaron Rodgers would decline going to the Texans pretty quick.
Well, he probably would. But I'm just saying, like, I think if there's any other team, sure. But as far as the Steelers go, like, I think Ben's a good quarterback still. Like, is he elite? He's not where he was. But at the same time, like, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers really elevates it that much more. But.
Well, you know, you look at Aaron Rodgers, and the thing is, man, it's like, you know, you played all these years with the Packers organization. You have one Super Bowl to show for it. One.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that on the player or is that on the team or the organization? I think it's more on the organization. I mean, before Devontae Adams got there, who do you have? Jordy Nelson?
Hey, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb. I mean,
and look at Randall Cobb after he left the Packers. I mean, he's not been anything.
Well, I mean, I agree with that, but I just mean,
you know, Jordy, he wasn't anything in Oakland either. So yeah. I just Rodgers certainly makes these players better, but at the same time, I mean, look at Tom Brady, for instance. I mean, the Patriots team. The last year that Tom Brady was on it was horrible, but he still got him to the playoffs. He still won him that division.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, now granted, I mean, obviously that shows how great the player is, but at the same time, you know, would that team have made it even further if they had just a couple of more players, just a couple of better players on it? And I think that's all Aaron Rodgers is really saying is why can't I have just a couple of better players? You get a guy like Elijah Moore. I mean, he already becomes your number two, most likely, on that, you know, behind Devontae Adams. I mean, I don't know. I think your offense gets better. I mean, I know your defense needs to improve as well, but not a whole lot. Getting a corner is not a bad idea, but, you know,
I guess at the same time, like, you look at the players he has, like, at running back. I mean, he has a three-headed running back committee who, I mean, A.J. Dillon already looks like he's going to be a stud after he takes over the starting role. And then you have – when you look at the wide receiver core, like, yeah, it's just Devontae Adams. But then they had that kid that used to be a quarterback who's now a tight end, whatever his name is.
Yeah, Robert Tonyan.
They have Tonyan. Yeah. I mean, Marquise Scouting-Valdez or whatever. Like, I mean, he's a great deep ball player.
Alan Lazard
wasn't terrible. And but, so I guess at the same time, like, I don't know. I don't think he's treated as bad. Everybody's acting like he's like, oh, poor Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's not a terrible roster by any means.
I think the point though is who are these guys without Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, and we won't know that until they leave from Aaron Rodgers. So I mean, I get that point too, but
I don't know. It's a really interesting story because it's one of those. It's like, okay, this is a guy who you thought would be on the same team for his entire career. He'd retire and all that. And apparently retirement is something he's contemplating if they don't trade him. So, you know,
it's Brett Favre 2.0, man.
I guess, well, we could put in the option of, do you think he goes to Jeopardy? Is that who trades for him? Jeopardy. You know, is that who's going to trade for him? Because, but the thing is like, how can you lose a guy like Aaron Rodgers? Then you're going to what? Start a guy like Jordan Love who, look, he didn't – did he even suit up any last year? I don't think he did.
I don't know. But at the same time, then, like, how long do you continue this drama with Aaron Rodgers? Like, this is going to be an every year thing. I mean, he did the same thing with Brett Favre, what, 13 years ago, whatever it was? Like, 13, 14 years ago. And that was a headache for everybody that was watching SportsCenter, because at that point, it really wasn't a Fox Sports. It was just ESPN. And it was on all the time. Like, and people just don't like Brett Favre now because of that 1 year that he went back and forth. Like, I don't know. You know, like, so I just think as a package organization, you've already gone through it once, Brett Favre. Why do it again with Aaron Rodgers? But again, I know people don't think I'm – people probably think I'm crazy listening to this, so it's okay.
I mean, I think you have a good point, though. I don't know. I mean, you know, are we – is Jordan Love going to go through the same thing in 15 years from now? No, you're right, though. Who knows? Because it is – it's crazy stuff, man. I mean, yeah. We'll see how it folds out. I mean, I don't know if he's actually going to be going anywhere, but – I think, Brad, I honestly think in the next week or two, we're really going to see something major come of this. They're either going to trade him or he's going to retire. And
that's the thing with trading, though, too. It's like, if you're saying you don't want to be there, then you're leaving it up to the team to trade you. Like, I mean, if I'm the Packers, I'm like, all right, we'll take Deshaun Watson. You know, he's having trouble with the ladies right now. And we'll take, we'll take Laremy Tunsil. You can have Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, yeah, but again, Aaron Rodgers, he's going to – I mean, I think I'd rather be host of Jeopardy than be on a team like that with the Texans. But
I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, if you're asking for a trade, I mean
– Well, right. Yeah, right. But I mean, I'm sure Rodgers has some type of pull, you would think. So, I mean, the Broncos, Raiders, and Giants are apparently the teams he'd like to be traded to. And I think the Broncos are the best fit. Personally,
I mean, I think honestly, and I think people might disagree. I don't know, people are going to disagree with the whole thing if they're listening to me, I'm sure. But if I'm Aaron Rodgers, like, why not go to a team like the Browns? Like, I know it's Cleveland, but they, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, but like, they stacked their defense up. Like, they were really close to beating the Chiefs last year in the playoffs. You know, like, they picked up another good receiver in the draft. I mean, I don't see why, you know, you got Nick Chubb, you got Kareem Hunt. You got a good offensive line. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, like, hey, if they're willing to, you know, take Baker Mayfield and put him in Green Bay. I don't know, but
yeah, but I think you've got to go to a team that's having quarterback issues. I mean, I know the Browns could be having quarterback issues, but you know, the fact, you know, whether Baker Mayfield is an issue or not, it was covered up by the fact that. It was covered up by the fact that the Browns finally made the playoffs and they were finally a contender of sorts, or a looking like a contender of sorts. And now it's like, hey, can Baker now get us over the top? And can he? I don't know. You put Aaron Rodgers on that team. And I mean, well, you know, like, a couple of years ago, right.
I mean, Baker only had like one game over a 200 quarterback rating. I mean, or threw for over 200 yards on like 2-3 games. I mean, and granted, when you have Nick Chubb, you don't have to throw a ton. But at the same time, I think you put Aaron Rodgers there. Now, I'm saying, well, they're probably like, well, you're a Steelers fan. Why would you want him to go to the Browns? I mean, I don't care about Aaron Rodgers. I'm just saying, like, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm looking at how the Cleveland Browns have drafted, how they were last year. Like, why would I not want to go there and start as quarterback?
I agree. I don't know. Hey, this is a conversation, Brad.
We go on and on.
right. Let's jump into our 2021 NFL draft winners and losers, Brad. We're gonna start with the losers. Brad, I'll say my first loser. You say yours. We'll go like that. We'll vice versa chain. Yeah, yada yada yada. Same old. Just a different day. All right, Brad. First loser up, the Las Vegas Raiders. Look, they always reach. I mean, they reach for an offensive tackle and Alex Leatherford. They could have gotten in the second. Then they get okay value on one of the better safeties in a very shallow draft class, four safeties, which, you know, a good value there on Trevor Moreg. Anyways, we had him on our top 20 of our defensive players. We did not have Alex Leatherford. I don't even think we had him in our top 25, if that says anything. So, job there, Mayock and Gruden. But look, and then the Raiders went and they drafted two more safeties, Brad. Do they realize that only two safeties play and they signed Jonathan Abram? Would they not have any depth? Come on, man. I don't get it, dude. Look, they left talent on the board and they have holes that they needed to fill. I'd be disappointed if I'm a Raiders fan, Brad. I just really would. Who's your first loser?
Yeah, so I'm actually picking the Aints. I mean, the Saints. Look, I mean, they reached for defensive end Peyton Turner from Houston. Like, decent stats, but again, played in the AAC. I thought that was a reach. They probably could have picked him no problem in the second round, maybe even a third. So I thought that was a reach. And then you say, well, they really need to address the linebacker position. Well, they might have, could have, potentially could, when they drafted Pete Werner second, you know, in the second round. That could be a fix there. But at the same time, I mean, you look at it after. You have Paulson and Debo from Stanford, a cornerback. And he reached for Ian Book, which a lot of people thought he'd be a sixth-rounder. You pick him up in the fourth. Again, another reach. And then you have offensive tackle Landon Young, another one that no one's really heard of. And then wide receiver Kawan Baker I can't even remember where he's from. I know it's a smaller school. And so, again, like, now smaller school wide receivers have done well. But then again, have you addressed the wide receiver, number two wide receiver option? You know, you lost Emmanuel Sanders to free agency. Really was a salary cap casualty. And you have Michael Thomas, who you paid him a ton of money for a record-setting year, and then last year he played injured, and he was out. He was on and off, you know. And so I think, just like you were talking about the Packers, like, they could have picked a wide receiver in the first round, like Elijah Moore, somebody else to kind of complement Michael Thomas, and they reached for Peyton Turner. So, you know, I think overall I thought most of their picks were reaches, was unusual for the Saints. I mean, the Saints usually have a decent – ever since, you know, Loomis, I think it's their GM. Like, ever since he took over, they've had decent drafts. But at the same time, I thought this year was really weak. Several reaches. Pete Werner might be their only good pick. Ian Book's not a terrible pick, but again, you know, you pick people when you have other players on the board. I mean, are you going for the best offense? Are you going for the best athlete on the board? Or are you just have your mind made up before the draft and you're like, I don't even care who's on the board, this is who we're going for? I think that's what the Saints went. They went for the latter of the two. And again, I thought their draft was full of reaches and unnecessary picks.
All right, my next team is the Colts. Look, I'm a fan of Chris Ballard, and if I had to guess, I'll probably be eating my words, really, honestly, for putting them as losers in this draft. But on paper, Kwity Paye was their only pick that made a whole lot of sense. I mean, you draft two pass rushers in a row, and one may not play until 2022. Look, they didn't get an offensive tackle in order to keep Carson Wentz up and injury-free. Look, Brad, honestly, dare I say the Colts got worse this offseason, and this draft didn't help.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. In fact, I was working a basketball game in Owensboro, and my spotter, he's a huge Colts fan, actually youth pastor here, and he was grumbling the whole game. And I'm like, we got to pay attention to the game. I know the Colts are having a bad draft, but pay attention to the game. And so, he was just mad because, again, I think just like you were saying, you know, they needed offensive line help, and they just were ignoring that. Like, they didn't, like, it wasn't even a problem. And so, yeah, my second.
I mean, that game was probably better than the Colts draft anyway. So,
Yeah, that's probably very true. So, but my second loser on here is the Packers. One, Aaron Rodgers drama again on draft day, and then two, you look at who they picked: Eric Stokes, a cornerback out of Georgia. I mean, decent corner, but again, like, was that a reach? Because they picked up a better corner at that position. Could they picked up a wide receiver at that position? And then their second round, they go in and they picked a center. They pick a center. Okay, cool. But again, another name that nobody's really heard of. And then they go ahead and, you know, I feel like they just stumbled all throughout the draft on where they pick. And then their last pick was Kalen Hill, a running back. Look, you already have a crowded running back room. I mean, you have Jamal Williams. You just re-signed Aaron Jones. You have A.J. Dillon. Why sign another running back when your biggest need is a wide receiver?
They don't have Jamal Williams anymore.
Okay, well, either way, I mean, I thought A.J. Dillon did really good for you last year. So, again, is that something that you needed a draft in this – is that position you needed a draft in 2021? So, again, I didn't quite understand that. Again, I mean, they picked the wide receiver Amari Rodgers from Clemson, a decent receiver. But, again, could they have gone for Elijah Moore in the first round and done better there? I mean, I just think that they kind of stayed away from offensive weapons. I mean, they picked up two good guys for the offensive line, but again, I just thought their draft picks, again, and I don't like Aaron Rodgers a whole lot, but at the same time, like, I feel like they just I don't know. I just don't understand their draft process the last 2 years.
Look, I don't disagree with you. I think, you know, we've talked a lot about the Packers, that's for sure, in this show so far. Probably more than we ever really have besides on preview shows. All right, Brad, my last loser team is the Seattle Seahawks. Look, to bring up Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay again, I mean, do you see how Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay? Yeah, I mean, you know, Wilson, look, he's going to bring up his issues with the Seahawks again, and he should. And look, the reason for that is because, you know, sure, they gave Wilson another receiver, but what about the offensive line, Brad? Well, I mean, you know, I know that the Seahawks didn't have very many picks, but, I mean, come on. You know, look, you've got to keep your guy healthy and happy. And I mean, Russell Wilson, he's pretty, you know, he stays pretty healthy, but I don't know about happy.
Yeah, I think this probably could be the biggest loser of the 2021 draft. They might be the biggest loser in the next two drafts just because of who it's after in the last few years. But it's the Houston Texans. I mean, Bill O'Brien just really screwed them. I mean, I don't know how else to say that. I mean, he really just stuck it to them and destroyed their organization. And so, and they don't have a first or second round pick this year. And then in the third round, they picked Davis Mills out of Stanford, a mediocre quarterback. And I guess there's so many holes. Wide receiver, which they pick a wide receiver in second round. Okay, sure. A kid out of Michigan, Nico Collins, could be a good deep threat. But again, who else does he have to throw to Deshaun Watson? You know, you pick a quarterback with your first pick in the third round when you need linebackers, you need cornerbacks, you need defensive linemen. You know, I think you need a whole new defense. And so, and then they go ahead and they pick up Brevin Jordan, a tight end from Miami. Again, you have a crowded tight end room. I mean, there's, you have Jordan Akins, you have several guys who did well for you last, who did okay for you last year. But again, enough tight ends where was it really necessary to pick a tight end with your third pick? And then they finally reach for defensive players in the fifth and sixth round with Garrett Wallow and Roy Lopez. But again, I think not only did Bill, they're still feeling the effects from Bill O'Brien. I feel like their draft was garbage.
Yeah, and honestly, you know, look, their draft being garbage, I don't know. I don't know if, you know, their draft being garbage is really of the fault of – it's not really the fault of the people that were there, that are there currently, or at least the GM that is there currently, maybe the – and the coach that's there currently, but I mean, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you're right, Bill O'Brien.
You said not currently, but at the same time, like with only having five picks in the entire draft, you would think they'd be a little bit more strategic, right, on who.
Yeah, I didn't understand drafting a quarterback. I mean, do you do that in the third round because you really think Deshaun Watson isn't coming back or what? Because here's my thing. Do they regret not trading Deshaun Watson before the draft? Because if they would have traded Deshaun Watson before the draft, they would have had a first-round pick and probably a second-round pick and maybe two or three first-round picks. Who knows? But, yeah, it's just one of those things, Brad, where it's like – I mean, hindsight's 20-20, but, I mean, the year 2020, the year 2021, the year 2022 – yeah, all those years haven't been good for the Texans and probably aren't going to be good for the Texans. So we'll see. We will see. All right, Brad, let's go to the winners. Let's go. Let's finish this thing off on a positive note. We're going to give our three winners a piece here. My first up is the Jacksonville Jaguars. Brad, look, this is really an easy pick for a winner. I mean, honestly, it's kind of a really – it's just an easy pick to win. It's easy to pick them as winners. You know, they get their franchise quarterback and most likely the best QB, if not player, to ever wear a Jags uniform. Or at least that's what Trevor Lawrence is expected to be. We'll see. We'll see if that actually happens. I mean, I think he, you know, if he turns out to be a bust, it's going to probably be – It may not be just him. It may also be the Jaguars organization because that's just how they are. But either way, let's stay positive. Let's stay positive with it. Look, they addressed the offensive and defensive side of the ball pretty well. You know, I kind of question the Travis Etienne move, but hey, I'm sure T Law loves it. So, look, good job to Urban Meyer on his first draft.
I think Urban Meyer had a good draft. I didn't quite understand the Etienne move just for the fact that they have James Robinson. But again, it might be just because Lawrence and, you know, Etienne have good chemistry, and maybe that would just develop into a better, just better for them in the future.
My thing is James Robinson. I mean, he had a really good year, and then you go out and you sign Carlos Hyde. I mean, and now you're bringing in Travis Etienne. Like Urban Meyer said, oh well, we want three backs that can handle. Like I think Etienne's supposed to come in on third down, and Hyde and Robinson are going to handle first and second. Come on, Urban. You know what you're doing. I mean, this is – yeah, I kind of feel bad for James Robinson. I mean, I have him on a couple of fantasy football, like dynasty leagues, and, well, yeah, this sucks. But it is what it is. All right, Brad, who's your first winner?
Yeah, so this team I don't like, but I thought there's actually all three of these teams have as winners I don't like. But – That's neither here or there. My first winner is the Cowboys. You know, they're not known for having good drafts. They're kind of like the NFC version of the Raiders. They draft players. You just kind of scratch your head. I think they did well. Michael Parsons was able to drop to them. They did a couple of trade options. They traded with the Eagles and then traded again with the Bears. Unless I'm mistaken there, I thought that was what it was. But either way, you know, Michael Parsons, probably the top defensive guy in the draft, comes out to the Cowboys. They need help defensively, and so they pick up Parsons, and then they go in the second round and they pick up Kelvin Joseph, who they were going for Mooring, but obviously the Raiders trade up for him. But they picked up Kelvin Joseph, who a lot of people had going in the first round, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, I thought, or maybe you had Jamin Davis, and not Kelvin Joseph, but maybe I had Kelvin Joseph. But either way, I mean, a lot of people still saw him maybe going in the first round. They pick him up in the second, you know, and then they go down. You go down, okay. Nashawn Wright, that was a, you know, head-scratcher pick. Chauncey Golston out of Iowa, you know, a guy who could be good but has a lot of character issues that people were questioning. But then they hit a home run with Jabril Cox. You know, a lot of people had him going second, third round. He drops all the way to the fourth, and they pick him up there. And so I thought that was a good pickup by the Cowboys. And then you look further down. I mean, Quentin Bohanna from Kentucky, he could be pretty decent. But then I think they really hit a home run really at the end of their draft. A lot of people are like, well, I don't know these names. But I think overall draft profiles, how they played last season, they're really good pickups, late round pickups for them. But Israel Mukuamu, he played opposite of J.C. Horn at South Carolina, did really well. And maybe because he played opposite of J.C. Horn, but – I mean, they need help there with the cornerback position. Then they picked up Matt Forniuk, an offensive line from Nebraska. They obviously need some help there. You know, Dak Prescott can't do it all, and he can't keep getting injured. And so I thought that was a good add there, good late draft pickup. So I think overall from top to bottom, I would almost put like a tie between the Cowboys and the Jets for the best winner of the draft.
I agree. Yeah. All right. The Bears is who I have next, Brad. Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, they may be the real winners here, honestly, because you move up, you get Justin Fields, who should turn into your franchise guy, but, you know, who knows? But look, if they show promise in 2021, Nagy and Pace may actually keep their job. And, I mean, from two guys who probably should have lost it before this offseason or during this offseason, yeah, it's – things are looking up for them now, and we'll see. And look, and for the Bears too, this Aaron Rodgers stuff with the Packers. I mean, if he moves away from the Packers, then that makes them even more winners as well. But that's not necessarily draft talk, but it is off-season talk.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. The Bears were in my head one of my winners, but I forgot to put them down. But I do think they had a good draft. My next winner is the Jets. They kind of remind me a lot of what Cleveland Browns about 4 or 5 years ago, where they kind of load up on draft picks and they're drafting. You're like, man, this guy's not very good, but he'll be in the depth. And then who knows, he'll be a starter, but he's a lot of raw talent. You know, they pick Zach Wilson second overall. You know, I think Zach Wilson reminds me a lot of an Alex Smith or even I don't know, something similar to that, just because of his injury history. And then on top of that, the conference he played in coming out, you know, BYU is an independent. They didn't play very good. They didn't play very good competition. The competition they did play that was good, they lost to. And so again, can he make a difference? I don't know, but still not a bad pick at number two. And then they get to pick up Elijah Vera Tucker, who a lot of people had in their top 10. They pick him up at number 14, a good left guard to put in there. And then they pick up your guy, Elijah Moore, in the second round, which, I mean, they picked up Corey Davis in the offseason, and then they picked up somebody else that I'm blanking on right now in the offseason. So I think they load up on offensive weapons. Then they pick up Michael Carter, who I thought for me was a sneaky pick in the first, second round. I thought the Steelers could aim for him in the third round, like go ahead, you know, go forward, not getting offensive line in the first round, not picking up Najee Harris, and then pick up Michael Carter in like the third round. They didn't do that, but the Jets pick up a much needed hole in their roster at running back with Michael Carter. I think he'll do well. And then they round five, they got Michael Carter a second from Duke. You know, he did well. He's a little small, but he's fast and he's a good nickel cornerback. So I think he would do well. So I think overall, I think if you look at their draft, the Jets did well. It just reminds me of the Cleveland Browns from a couple years ago. And who knows, maybe the Jets could be a decent AFC team, which they haven't been in a while, because of their draft this year, and maybe even next year with all the picks that they've been picking up.
Brad, the real winners in this is anyone named Michael Carter.
That's true.
I mean, apparently you got a way better chance of being drafted if your name's Michael Carter. So, no one else in the draft had the same name drafted, especially to the same team. It's I think that not to take a line from Step Brothers, did we just become best friends? Anyways, all right. My last winner in this is the Denver Broncos. Look, we've talked a lot about Aaron Rodgers, that's for sure. But, look, the possibility of getting Aaron Rodgers, I believe, went up because of the draft. And then also they're winners because they are – well, they're the biggest team – they had the biggest rumors really linked to them of getting him. Look, they improved their defense, and it could have gotten back to how good it was when Manning was there. And, hey, they went to two Super Bowls, won one, got – well, they whooped the Panthers in one, and then they got whooped by the Seahawks in the other. But you know, it is what it is. And then they have a lot, you know, they have a lot of offensive weapons and, you know, and then they went and they got a running back. It could be a long-term option for them. So, you know, and honestly, a running back that has the potential to be the best running back, out of the entire draft. I don't know if that's true, but I mean, he could be going into the – I'm trying to think of his name. I don't know why. Like, he is a guy – he's a guy who could be – let's see, Javonte Williams. There we go. All right, anyways. Them drafting Javonte Williams, I think that he's kind of went into one of the better situations out of anybody in the draft as far as running backs go. And so, yeah, either way, the Denver Broncos, I think, are winners in this draft, and they'll be even bigger winners if that draft helps them get Mr. Aaron Rodgers. Brad, who's your last winner?
Yeah, so for me, it's a team that I don't like, a team that's in the same division, and a team that I think, honestly, based off of their offseason and their draft, could be really scary next year in the AFC, and that is the Cleveland Browns. So the Cleveland Browns, you know, a lot of people were trading up for offensive stars. They kind of just patiently waited there and thought, well, let's just see who we can get. And so if you listen to our mock draft, I picked JOK, also known as Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa, out of Notre Dame. They wound up getting him, but in the second round, you know, he was actually tagged the second best linebacker in the draft on Michael Parsons. He fell into the second round. So they pick up Greg Newsom, the second, a cornerback out of Northwestern in the first round. Look, I think it's going to go well. They're going to be – they signed Troy Hill in the offseason. They get back Rudy Williams. They're going to get back Denzel Ward. I think, you know, Grant Delpit's going to be coming back after last season. I think their secondary could be the most dangerous secondary in the AFC, if not the NFL, based off of that lineup right there. But then you also, again, you pick up Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. That was kind of a weak spot for him last year. It was a linebacker position. They addressed that need with picking up him and picking up a kid out of West Virginia, which I was looking up some stuff on him this morning. Tony Fields II. He amassed 287 tackles at Arizona before transferring to West Virginia. So I think at the same time, you don't need a linebacker that's going to, you know, sack the quarterback 100 times. You just need someone who's able to make open field tackles. And they found that in Tony Fields II in the fifth round. I think he could be a sleeper next year, especially looking at individual defensive players in fantasy. Then they end the draft with Demetri Felton, a wide receiver from UCLA, who could either play out of the backfield or in the backfield. So I think that could be a good change of role for the Browns on their offense. Anthony Schwartz, I didn't even mention him. He's from Auburn, needs to work on his routes a little bit better, but he's really fast. And granted, I don't think the Browns receivers are terrible, but again, I think this gives Baker Mayfield another deep threat, which he loves to throw down the field. So I thought the Browns, again, are still feeding off of, changing that up, trying to get better the last couple of years. And I think the Browns are going to be scary next year. They're going to be a sleeper next year. I think going when we go to NFL season previews, they might be a sleeper for me in the playoffs.
I mean, they for me, Brad, they could be even more than just a sleeper. I think that they should make the playoffs. Really, not just a sleeper, but they should. So either way, all right, Brad. It was a good show, winners and losers of the 2021 NFL Draft. But without further ado, let's get the golden point of faith.
Yeah, so, we talk about the winners and the losers and, who won the draft based off of performance or who lost the draft based off performance and picks. And I think one thing that I was thinking about was, I know last week I talked about, going into the draft, most teams are looking for a quote-unquote savior to come in and save the team, take them to the next level, save them from impending doom. And, I was thinking we're talking about winners and losers. And I think one of the biggest things that I can relate this to is, at the end of the day, there's winners and losers in life, right? And this is not like a feel-good Joe Osteen thing, so please don't think that. At the end of the day, death's guaranteed, right? It's a morbid thing to talk about, but at the end of the day, that's something that's guaranteed. Everybody's going to face death at some point. And I think what we can relate that to is that when life is over, there's winners and losers, right? And so in my book, winners are those who accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, live through salvation, being sanctified daily, pursuing, the kingdom of God and sharing Jesus with people. And then there's losers. There's those who reject Christ, who don't want to be a Christian, who think that this is just a bunch of nonsense or fairy tales. And then you get to heaven, you die, you go up to the judgment seat, and Christ either tells you you can welcome in, opens up the gates, and or he sends you, you could be sent to hell. And you're like, well, how can a loving God send people to hell? Well, that's a different topic for a whole another day. But what I'm trying to get at is, in life, there's always winners and losers, and so. The loser would go into Romans 6:23, where it says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So right then and there, it starts off with saying the wages of sin is death. So if you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have that free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, is death. It's eternal suffering in hell. And then, but winners of life, Romans 10, 9 through 13 is some of my favorite verses. And it's because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. The scripture says everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. When I think of that, I think of, okay, when you die, get that judgment scene, shame is that, you didn't believe in me, you rejected me. You thought I was a bunch of fairy tales, and now you're having to deal with the consequences. But then you scoot down to verse 13, it says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so I just hope that, you might be listening to this and say, well, Brad, I don't know, you're getting pretty preachy on me. I don't know if I would necessarily call me a preacher. I am a minister, but I wouldn't call me a preacher necessarily. But I would say that, at the end of the day, death is guaranteed for every single person on earth. And there's going to be winners and losers, just like this draft. And the winners are those who know Jesus Christ, who had that saving power of salvation through Jesus and accepted him and, believed in their heart and confessed with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. And the losers are those who reject the gospel and don't want to believe that Jesus is the way to heaven and accept him into their life. So if you're on the losing side right now, it's really simple. Romans 10:10 says, you know, Romans 10:9 says, if you believe in your heart that God rose from the dead and confess your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. And so all you got to do is believe in your heart and confess your mouth, and you'll be on the winning team.
Amen, Brad. Amen.
Welcome to Golden Point Sports Podcast. You can find us on Apple, YouTube, Spotify, Anchor, and more. We hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Let us know what you thought in your comments, and go rate us and give us reviews on any other podcast site you listen to. Again, thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoyed this week's episode.